Well, person, fall through floor.
Kathleen's trying to get me murdered.
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your Doritos eating, sleepover hosting, Sister Sister is the best show and everybody needs to watch it immediately, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your Freddy Krueger sweater wearing, Diet Coke drinking, listening to creepy ambient music on YouTube, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
scary and creepy stories from everyone's hometown. And by everyone, I mean you, Kathleen, me, our editor, Charlotte, and the top two or three cities of our listeners.
Oh, that's so exciting. Is this why you asked me randomly where I was born?
Yeah. I knew you were born in New Jersey, but I didn't know which specific area. And so just on a random Thursday night, I texted you, what city were you born in? And I texted Charlotte, and neither of you asked why first. First, you answered the question and then asked why, which is why I know that you're good people. Because that's my pet peeve, is when I need something from someone and their first question is why, because it means they don't trust me.
And this week, I'm talking about dating deal breakers. Inspired by Netflix's finest inspired by the amazing show Emily in Paris.
So I've now been watching the show. This is the show that describes your life, basically, or what, you know, your dream life is.
Had I not met Neil.
Had you not met Neil. And that was my next thing, is you are married.
Yes.
So the good news is that you don't have to deal with any of these deal breakers anymore. Mm-hmm. But are these like your deal breakers or deal breakers in general?
Some of my deal breakers. I'm going to ask you what your deal breakers are, Bethany. And then I looked up on the internet some really funny deal breakers.
Okay, great.
Can you see this? I'm going to bend over for a second so you can see this mess that is behind me.
Okay. Oh, woof, Kathleen. Is that a couch behind you?
Yeah, it's like an oversized chair, and it's just the entire contents of my closet on that chair. And I'll tell you why. Because I hosted a sleepover this weekend with my nieces. They are 7 and 9.
And you sent pictures, and they're darling. They were on the Peloton.
Yes. Let me tell you, best thing to keep a child entertained when you are too tired to do anything anymore, stick them on the Peloton and tell them it's fun.
It's like the hamster wheel for children.
It is. But
just like work that energy out.
My energy is totally zapped. Like, I've eaten so much crappy junk food over the weekend. Like, Bethany, when was the last time you ate at a McDonald's? It's so good.
Whoa, it's been a while.
My body is paying for it. I had a Big Mac and spicy chicken nuggets and soda. Oof. And it was so good. But now my body is like, I hate you.
So, okay. So how long did you have the girls?
I had them for about 24 hours.
They left yesterday?
Yep.
How was it?
It was good.
Like, did you have fun?
I'm exhausted. I went to bed at 8:30 yesterday.
Look, I think there's something about being a parent, because you can like let your guard down, I would imagine, when you're a parent, versus when you're being Auntie Kathleen. You have to be fun and upbeat and like present.
And I wanted to show them a good time. It's like going on a first date where you have to be the best version of yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Or they're never going to want to come back.
Parents, I don't know how you do it. My hat's off to parents, because good Lord, that's so hard.
Well, we had a fashion show, so we did makeup, and they wore my clothes, and then what's the light that you and I use when we record this podcast and we film it?
Oh, our ring light.
Our ring light. The ring light was like the runway light for them. They thought that was very exciting.
I mean, Kathleen, you are a very metropolitan gal. I can see that you are the cool aunt.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a kid, your house, your wardrobe, like just the things that you have in your house because of your profession are very exciting.
I will tell you this. Kids really tell you the truth. My niece, Magnolia, she was like, Aunt Kathleen, I really like your apartment. You know, you're really messy and it makes it homey.
Okay, and that's when I send them back. Like, I'm not good. That would hurt my feelings.
No.
Does that hurt your feelings?
Oh, no, that doesn't hurt my feelings. And she goes, my mom made me clean my room today. She just doesn't get us.
Oh, That's amazing.
I will tell you that while I was sleeping on an air mattress with them, I was influenced. I was on Instagram, and have you seen this thing? I think it's called Chirp. It's like, it looks like these tire wheels that you run your back over. Have they popped up on your Instagram yet?
No, I need one. It's,
yes, I'll let you borrow them because I know you've been having some upper back problems.
And yeah.
So I bought these wheels while I was sleeping on the air mattress with them because I feel like I'm crippled. My back hurts so bad from sleeping on the air mattress. Anyway, I was influenced, bought them in bed while I was in bed with my nieces. And yeah, so I'm a little bit out of sorts. I'm a little bit misaligned this morning. Bethany, dude. I have to say, your Freddy Krueger shirt with this like very starched white collar. It's like almost look like a pointy witch's collar and your hair in a high bun and your bangs framing your face. You look so dang adorable. Like you're going to host a horror film fest for Zooey Deschanel's biggest fans.
Oh my God. Thank you. Dennis said I looked like a receptionist in a Tim Burton movie. So I'll post a picture on our Instagram. So this is a sweater that actually it was a hand-me-down, and it's like red and black stripes. This looks like Freddy Krueger sweater. And then this is actually, I'm wearing a very bodycon dress under it.
Oh,
this is the top dress.
Ooh,
it's just,
I can see your boobies.
Boobs.
Should we tell the taste buds our big announcement starting next week?
What is that announcement?
We hired a video editor.
Yay! We hired a video editor. So you're going to be getting content.
And we got some like pretty cool cameras because this Skype feed is not really cutting it.
Yeah, we really want to be able to present, you know, more stuff. And, you know, Kathleen and I think of ourselves as, you know, good at hair. And so we want to be able to show off when our hair looks cute. Really gentle listener, that's what this is all about. We want to be able to show off when our hair looks cute. And we really want you to pretend to enjoy it. So if you can just, you know, placate us and compliment our hair.
last episode, you were talking about The Haunting of Bly Manor. Did you get to see any of it yet?
I did not get to see it yet. However, did you watch it?
No, it was on the list for last night and then I fell asleep like with food in my mouth. I was so tired.
I did, however, watch a movie that I've been meaning to watch for a really long time and it just hasn't happened. It's the original Black Christmas from 1970, I want to say four.
I've never even heard of the movie Black Christmas.
It is so good. So this is a movie that if you just described it to me, I wouldn't have wanted to see it because it's a guy calling a sorority house and terrorizing the sorority sisters.
Oh, didn't they do a remake of this recently?
Yes, they did. I haven't seen the remake, so I think there's two remakes, but normally I'd be like, oh, can we stop picking on sorority girls? And I also just imagine that it would be a bunch of like half-naked sorority girls pillow fighting with each other and just, it's not. It's this house filled with incredibly intelligent women. And one of them is the woman who played Juliet in Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet, who's like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life. The clothing is incredible. The acting is incredible. They're all like, none of them are nude and like giggling and running around. They're all wearing awesome, like full outfits.
Yeah.
And the calls they are getting are so disturbing. It's
really
not just someone breathing. It's someone crying. It's someone begging. It's a guy doing voices just like, I'm sorry.
This is the original?
This is the original.
Where can I watch it?
It is so good. I think I may have rented it. Let me see. Black Christmas. Let's look up the original.
I'm always shocked when I have to pay for a movie nowadays because I have every streaming service. There's like so much out there.
I know. And it's, but you know what? I'm trying more and more to be willing to rent. You can watch it. It says it's free on YouTube.
Oh, okay, cool.
Amazon Prime Video, you can watch it.
Ah.
So yeah, I highly recommend it. And the lead character is wearing this amazing yellow jumpsuit. That's what inspired the collar today. She's wearing a yellow jumpsuit with a stiff yellow collar, and then her sweater is black, and it has two white hands reaching over her boobs.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's like the final girl, quote unquote, so it just shows right away that she's not this virginal final girl. She's like saucy, and there's like, it's very good.
She's going to put up a fight. Did you finally get around to carving pumpkins yet?
Nope, absolutely did not.
Bethany, why do you keep putting this off? It's so fun. Seasonal fun.
I know. I really want to do it. Dennis was feeling really sick on Saturday, so kind of everything that we intended to do fell by the wayside, and so he just needed to rest. What about you? Did you carve?
No, not yet. I mean, that might be on the schedule for next weekend, but tomorrow... So we're recording this today on Monday, October 12th. Tomorrow is my 8-year wedding anniversary.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane, Kathleen. I had just met you. I've known you for 8 years.
Yes. I always think of our anniversary as like also my wedding anniversary is our friend anniversary because we became friends like a month before I got married.
It was amazing. Gentle listener, Kathleen and I'd only just started at that job and Kathleen had been planning her wedding for I don't know how long. And I had just joined the family and Kathleen gave me a wedding invitation. Like, there was no need for you to invite me. I would not have expected it.
Get out of here.
And yet you did.
Foreshadowing, because then we would become the best of friends later on.
I know. And I remember you had the most beautiful painted pumpkins, like hot pink and silver and whatever painted pumpkins at your wedding.
Well, we're just going to stay in because like, what do you do? I mean, it's 8 years. It's like, whatever.
I think, you know what I think? Like anyone who's having to celebrate something while mm-hmm. we're still kind of in this quarantine situation, mm-hmm. I think you make it really fun. I think you maybe, my friend M recommended when it was Dennis's birthday doing like a scavenger hunt throughout the house and coming up with funny clues, maybe based on memories you guys have had together.
Yeah.
And,
maybe
you know,
we can play Mall Madness, you know.
Play Mall Madness. That might be fun. You can watch a sexy, scary movie, or you can just order Chinese food and stay in and like cuddle.
Yes, that's it. It's an excellent idea.
I think that's all you have to worry about.
So before we wrap up this segment, a couple of things. In segment 4 of this episode, we're going to be doing a scary story from a listener.
Yes.
And we're going to be listening to a voicemail from our taste bud Leah as to why she is voting this year. But
awesome.
Bethany.
Yes.
I need some advice.
Okay, I have it for you.
Maybe I should have told you this before we started recording, but I applied for a job, okay?
What? Okay, amazing. What job is it?
But listen, I'm not like actively looking for jobs. I just saw this amazing job and I was like, oh man, I really want this. So The Skim, you know, that wonderful newsletter turned app.
Yeah.
The Skim is looking to, I guess, create like a podcast department and they're looking for a head of audio for them. And I have wanted to work for The Skim for so long. Like even when we were in radio, I would have a bad day and I'd go on the careers website of The Skim to see what they had available.
Using your company computer.
Yeah, using my company computer. Like, I'm getting out of here. But, okay, so I worked on my resume. My resume looks good. I worked on the cover letter. My cover letter is really good. I hit send. And then I realized, Bethany, that there is no space between the words the and skim. And my whole cover letter had it as the space skim. What do I do? I'm such an idiot.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I think I blew my chance. They're never going to call me. I told my husband. He's like, they're never going to call you. You can't even spell the company name right.
it's really, really tough because we have so many clients that we work with that are things like that. So when we put the notes on the website or we put the notes like in our show notes, who has a space in their name, who doesn't have a space in their name? It's such a, it's difficult. I think it probably does put you at the lower end of the pile. However,
c'est la vie. Maybe it was meant to be that way.
Oh. But it also they might not look. And it also, if you do anything, like if you email back and go, OMG, it was an autocorrect. I don't even worry about it.
Okay, so I know who my boss is going to be. Should I send her a note on LinkedIn? She's like, oh my god, like I really want this job, but like I've really fucked up.
I'm not the person to ask for this because I am not good at this kind of thing. I'm not good at strategizing.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what? Everyone's done it. The good news is that it's not like you desperately needed this job. Mm-hmm. It's
just
okay.
Like, it is what it is. It's okay.
We've all done something like that.
Damn
for
it.
Sure.
The skim, it's never going to happen for me.
No, don't say that. You can't put that out into the universe.
No, you're right. It is going to happen for me.
Yeah, you have to say like this one was a mistake, but who knows? ?
I tweeted them about one of their podcasts back in May and I included that link to my tweet in the cover letter.
Wait, what does the head of audio mean?
It means that they're going to be producing more podcasts and I get to be the big boss. I mean, that person gets to be the big boss. That person will probably know how to spell the company name.
If you're someone who works at The Skim, Kathleen's computer just kept auto-correcting
it. Yeah, so weird. So weird.
And it was so weird how that happened. But boy, is she, you know, amazing in so many ways.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Like when fuck corrects to duck, just like that.
All the time. It happens all the time. And so you know what? She's so used to properly spacing her words that her that her computer just auto spaces everything perfectly, you know? And that's, and her biggest failing is that she tries too hard.
Too hard. And I care too much.
And she cares too much. And her 10-year plan is to work happily at the Skim and not rock any boats or make any waves.
I would duck and rock that job.
So, Kathleen.
Yes.
People are trying to look at their holiday plans and if they're going to be traveling safely or what they're going to be doing. And one of the biggest things that I am packing with me as I go on this Christmas road trip that we're going to be going on is liquid IV. Because to me, staying hydrated is the number one rule of traveling.
Yes. I've never been into a product like Liquid IV before. It's this little packet. You can pour it into your water. It hydrates you better than regular water. Bethany, did you just get your package in the mail with the apple pie flavor?
It's so good.
It's so good. So good. Gentle listener, one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water, it'll get you 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. And it also reminds me that I need to be drinking water every day. My husband drinks one every single morning after he gets off the Peloton.
Flu season often lines up with their holiday plans, but Liquid IV can help support your immune system with increased hydration and essential vitamins. It's great if you're flying. It's great if you're taking a road trip. It's also great if you have a hangover.
Liquid IV is made with ingredients that are non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy, and soy-free. It also contains 5 essential vitamins. It has more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana.
Liquid IV is available nationwide at Walmart in the beverage section, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off of anything you order when you use the promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com.
Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TASTE. Okay, Kathleen, we're in spooky season. I need some hardcore spooky. And so, I am doing some scary / spooky / haunted stories from our hometowns.
Okay.
As well as a couple of cities where we have a lot of listeners.
Yes, let's do it.
So let's start with you, Kathleen. You are from Hackensack, New Jersey.
Sure am.
Which I learned last night when I texted you, where are you from? And you said,
I'm from the sack.
Did you say from the sack?
Yeah, I'm from the sack.
From the sack. Have you heard of the zombie house of Borgs Woods?
I used to get high in Borgs Woods.
Okay. So it's hard to find stuff about Borgs Woods online, for the record. Like it's, I don't know, maybe I'm looking in the wrong spots, but I did find this in a GChat transcription of like a bunch of people who were chatting.
Probably people I used to get high with.
Probably. And this is an article that was printed in Weird New Jersey. It's by Jody D. Weinberg. It's called The Zombie House of Borgs Woods. So,
okay.
Borgs Woods, located in Hackensack and Maywood.
Yeah, both are the towns that I'm from.
Nice. Is a stretch of forest that at one time lined a country club. Mm. One can dig just about anywhere and find antique glass bottles buried in the earth, as golfers used to walk these woods back in the early 1900s.
Yes, wait, can I tell you?
Yes.
That in my mom's house, when we're digging things up in the yard, we find golf balls all the time.
That makes sense.
Yeah, her house, we're not on the outskirts of Borgs Woods, but her house is not that far. And yeah, so it was like part of the golf course.
That's awesome. That's, yeah, and it's like old. The woods are old, apparently.
Very old.
So years later, mansions were built along Summit Avenue in Hackensack, and many had carriage houses.
Yep. That's the fancy part of town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a Summit Avenue in St. Paul, too. Very fancy. So one such carriage house had been long abandoned, and trees and shrubs grew, obstructing the path to the house. As children, the person says, we were warned to stay away from it as it was an old structure and could be unsafe.
Wow.
But We were curious. Here was this strange little house sitting right in the middle of the woods with no sign of life or care. So as children will do, we disobeyed our parents' instructions and ventured into the woods one day to investigate this neat little house that could possibly serve as a secret hideout or clubhouse.
Yes.
Got to.
There's nothing more exciting than an abandoned house.
Totally. It's the funnest because it might be like a new place you guys can all play.
Yeah, or a place to do drugs.
Exactly. Turns out the house was already occupied.
What?
But not by other kids, not by animals, not by adults. There was a zombie in that house.
Stop.
Perhaps it was a ghost, but there was something there.
Okay.
A head, white and featureless, would appear at the dirty old windows of the house as if letting us know we were not to disturb the place. My youngest brother, a bold boy, mustered up the nerve to jiggle the wooden doors to the house, which were padlocked from the outside. On a dare, he shook the doors, trying to open them. Nothing. Then, the doors jiggled back from the inside.
Get out of here.
We ran away, spooked.
Get out of here.
Through the years, we met other kids, some older, some younger, who'd had similar experiences. They had all seen the head. Some of us called this place the haunted house in Borg's Woods. Some referred to it as the zombie house. No matter what we called it, we knew better than to intrude upon whatever it was that was locked in there.
Oh, I wonder if it's still there. Bethany, you want to come with me? I'll pick you up.
Absolutely, I'll go.
We'll go see my mom and then we'll go for a walk in the woods.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go.
See, here's the thing about old houses. So many memories and energies have passed through old houses. Mm-hmm. I think that's why old construction feels cozier inherently than new construction.
I like that.
I mean, obviously, yes, there are more dusty corners in an old house than there are in like a brand new house. But old construction, it's just like the warmth of the history of the house inviting you.
Yeah, it's like it's been worn in.
Yes.
It's been, you know, it's like the difference between wearing an old cozy sweater and a brand new sweater.
Yeah.
Or it's just a vibe.
Like your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend's gray sweatshirt that you stole. Mm-hmm. There's just a vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been worn and it knows what it's doing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I am from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is a story I did not know existed.
Okay.
It's called The Cave Lady of Eau Claire. And
Bethany, this is a story about you.
No. And God, I wish. Maybe one day in the future.
You're just reading your biography.
I know. I'm writing my biography. So this is an article from volume1.org. And I like it because they have a picture of a cave. And the caption is, not the actual cave. This is a different cave. Okay. So Eau Claire's East Side Hill has an urban legend about the Cave Lady, a woman said to have lived in a cave along the Eau Claire River. The story appears to be true. Her name was Violet Lee.
I love that name.
Isn't it a beautiful name?
It's a gorgeous name.
Yeah, Violet, L-E-I-G-H, Lee. Her story was researched by Eau Clairean John DeRossier, which I didn't know Eau Clairean is what we were called.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like it. And it was printed in an East Side Hill newsletter. So here's what John DeRossier said. Married to Wilbur Phillips with five children, Violet Lee lived in a cave on the south bank of the Eau Claire River. She had talent. She wrote poetry, and in 1915, she appeared in a literary and musical program in the Osseo Theater. We don't know her real name. Violet Lee was her pen name, and her articles were often published in The Voice of the People. Rent money was not available to the family, so the family took residence in this cave. Originally built or made by Robert Hance, who used it to cool his beer. The family lived there until February 1918, when a sanity hearing was held and Violet was declared insane.
What?
If you lived in Eau Claire or Chippewa Falls or Altoona or thereabouts and you're wondering where the cave is, it's right across the river from the old Uniroyal building. You know where it is.
I like how your accent just came out when you were listing all those places.
So the home was equipped with an old boiler that had a fire to keep the mosquitoes away. It had some furniture, a carpet. They even had a flagpole with the flag out front in front of this cave.
They were proud cave dwellers.
Yes.
I don't blame them. You got to do what you got
to
do.
You have to.
Yeah.
And this is the sauciest part, Kathleen. Violet was reputed to have had several love affairs, or so it was said during her sanity hearing. They included an affair with a married man from Eau Claire, another affair with a minister from Altoona, a third with a physician from Madison, and a fourth with a physician from Mendota.
This is the type of woman that I would like to be when I grow up.
She lives in a cave. She's doing what she wants. She's, you know, sexing around Wisconsin. You know.
She's writing poetry.
Yeah. No wonder she was declared insane. She was, like, doing her own thing.
Yeah. She's on the stage. Yeah. And also, she's got waterfront property.
She sure do. Next,
yes,
we're going to talk about Bessie's love cabin. This is in the San Fernando Valley, which is where our editor Charlotte is from.
Oh, well, you know what? Bessie's love cabin is what I refer to my lady box as sometimes. Okay.
Just picturing you. I had a moment where I was just picturing you going to the OBGYN to get an exam. She's like, okay, you know, put your feet in the stirrups. And you're like, you ready to see Bessie's love cabin? Because you also have a glass of wine.
Do I go to the gyno drunk?
Yeah, you do. You're wearing your paper dress.
That's
robe.
That's Miss Hannigan going to the gynecologist.
You ready to see Bessie's love cabin?
Okay, San Fernando Valley.
Okay, Bessie Love was an actress. So she did both silent and sound films. She played innocent young girls. And then when she got a little older, she played wholesome leading ladies. And she was born in 1898. She died in 1986. So she had a long life. Let's rewind a little bit. The middle of the 18th century, while trying to run away after stealing gold from a man known as the Mexican Robin Hood, two robbers were caught and killed in the San Fernando Valley.
Ooh.
Almost half a century later, Bessie Love purchased a house on the very land where these two men had been slain. Bessie had no idea what had happened, but shortly into living in her first home, she reported feeling a total sense of uneasiness. She also felt cold spots on her skin. She heard men's voices throughout the house, and she experienced electrical anomalies.
What?
Uh-huh. Imagine being in your brand new house, and you're like lying down to sleep, and then you hear just two men inside talking.
Enough to drive a woman crazy.
Enough to drive a lady mad.
Yeah.
A house guest even reported having seen a horrifying apparition wearing a cowboy hat. And the house is on ghost tours and is believed to be haunted to this day.
Wow. I want to move in.
Yeah, I know, right? Bess's love shack.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The majority of our listeners, Kathleen, if we do our analytics, live in New York, New York, or thereabouts.
Yes.
So we are going to talk about the haunted well in Soho.
Okay. Before you get into this, where was I reading this story? I think it was in Maine. Okay. This is crazy. Somebody in Maine bought a house. It has to do with a well. Okay. I swear there's a tie.
Yeah. No, great. Let's do it.
You're giving me that look.
No, sorry. I'm trying to beat off a yawn because I'm like, I only had one cup of coffee today. So my face is doing weird things, but it's not because of you.
Okay. So they bought this house in Maine and they moved in and they were moving heavy boxes and whatever. And a friend is over and then crash. Their friend falls through the floor into a well.
Oh my God, it's like The Ring.
That was under the house that was never capped off.
Why had no one fallen in before this?
Wait, I think this happened recently. Hold on. Yes, it just happened July 1st, 2020. That's what the New York Times is reporting.
Oh my God.
Come on, New York Times. I subscribe. Stop making me log in. What the hell? Now I don't know my password. Okay, I'm just going to find a different website. Yes, this man in Connecticut. It was Connecticut. There was a well beneath the house. His friend fell through. The firefighters had to get him out. Isn't that crazy?
That's horrifying. You also wonder, like, is this just the moment that the floor gave way? Because it had to have had people living in there before, right?
Well, yeah. Well, there was water in the well. So I imagine that water evaporating up into the floor will loosen the wood or, yeah, you know, make it a little bit softer in that, yeah, one area. Anyway.
Holy cow, that's awful. That's what happened in The Ring.
Yeah. All right. Ugh. Soho. Okay. The Haunted Well of Soho.
So
is it next to the Zara? I'm sorry.
No, it's close. You're not wrong. I may have talked about this story last year, so this might ring true or familiar, but inside the Soho shop, Kos, mm-hmm, I think it's on Spring Street.
Kos, wait, spell that. Is that that fancy?
C-O-S.
Yes. Oh, so, yep, fancy.
Yep. There is an 18th century well in the basement men's section.
What?
And it is connected to a gruesome unsolved case. So back in 1799, Julielma Elmore Sands snuck out of her Greenwich Street boarding house on December 22nd to meet up with her lover, Levi Weeks.
Ooh.
Levi Weeks is a fuckboy name.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like the name Levi, though.
I do, too. That's how you get, like, that's how he gets you.
Yeah.
So the two had planned to run off and elope that night, but less than 2 weeks later, Julielma's body was found inside this famous well.
What?
She had been suffocated and then thrown in the well. News of this incident was plastered everywhere, and Levi Weeks was accused of homicide. The case was famously dubbed by the press the Manhattan Well Murder.
Whoa.
Now, the trial remains notable today for two big reasons. First,
mm-hmm,
it's the first murder case in U.S. history to have a stenographer on the case.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And secondly, Levi Weeks had an outstanding defense team consisting of Alexander Hamilton,
oh my God,
and Aaron Burr.
Stop it. Stop it.
Alexander Hamilton and the dude who would eventually murder Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr.
Those were his lawyers.
Yep. So because they were amazing lawyers, Weeks was found innocent, but people were so livid, mm-hmm, that he eventually had to skip town. And if the real culprit wasn't Weeks, the real culprit was never discovered. And that incident remains one of the most infamous unsolved cases in New York history.
He's the O.J. Simpson of the late 1700s.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Yes, totally. We should make t-shirts. So before Kos, the structure sat in a restaurant called the Manhattan Bistro, and the building had belonged to the family of Maria de Grossa, which was the restaurant's owner.
Yeah.
So back in those days, the well was in the basement, so they used it as storage. So if diners wanted to see the well, the restaurant owners would, like, bring them down and let them see the well, but it wasn't on display. It was, like, in the basement. But because Kos has a lot of clothing, they are in the basement as well. So you walk into the main level, it's all the lady clothes. And then if you go down into the basement, it's sensible men's separates. And there are two male models standing in front of the well.
Wait, like mannequins, or do they have male models at all times to guard the well?
Mannequins, although I do wish that it was male models guarding the well. Now, it is reported that there are ghostly voices that come from this well, that people see, you know, the body walking around.
Yeah.
There are some people who believe that this well isn't the actual well, that it's not, whatever, but who cares?
Yeah.
It's 7 feet high. It's just lodged in this corner. And in addition to freaking people out, bottles have been known to fly off the shelves. And there have been a couple of ghost stories of people seeing this woman's figure walking around, like, freaking people out. But because it's a corporation, Kos had to spin it. Kos's menswear designer, Martin Anderson, thinks of the woman's ghost in a more friendly light. He says, "She's a modern minimalist ghost. We imagine her being dressed in white." A year ago, I went to the Kos well, and I took a picture at the Kos well.
Really?
They've whitewashed it from my memory. I think it's all white.
Oh, how chic.
But I'll post a picture of it.
Yeah. Are you in front of it?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing, Bethany.
Yeah. It was, I didn't see anything, but, like, I was also really nervous. Like, I didn't know if I was going to get yelled at or anything or, like, kicked out, but what can you do?
Would you buy a house? Okay, say that you and Dennis were looking for a pied-a-terre in the Catskills.
Sure.
And the realtor says to you, listen, you can get a good deal on this house. It's not going to be free, but you're getting a good deal because there have been multiple murders in this house and it's also haunted. Would you buy it?
Oh, man. You know what I would do? The murders wouldn't bother me, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would need to know what kind of ghosts we were working with.
Mm.
You know, I would, like, maybe ask to stay a night
and
see, because if they're friendly, if they're just, like, ghosts, it's fine. But if it's, like, you know, what's the movie that was shot on paranormal
activity.
Yeah. If it's that kind of ghost, yeah. It's going to drag me out by the ankles in the middle of the night. No, thank you. What would you? Would you live in it?
I wouldn't live in it. I would buy it. And then I would Airbnb it as the murder house.
Girl, you're so smart. This is why I need you in my life.
I'm always looking at that entrepreneurial take on it.
Got to. All right, we're going to do two more. One's really short and actually kind of just funny. The Witch Bonnie. This is in Lowell, Massachusetts. Ooh. Apparently, Lowell, Massachusetts is our number two source of listeners.
Really?
Yeah, according to our Audio Boom dashboard.
it's really?
New York and then Lowell.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That's crazy. That's okay. I'm looking up Lowell right now on a map. I wonder if it's near Lynn because that's where my family was from. But anyway.
Okay. So in Lowell, Massachusetts, there's a cemetery, the Lowell Cemetery, appropriately okay. named. And mm-hmm. the statue is called the Witch Bonnie. Now, this is a statue of a woman. Her arms are outstretched over a rectangular tomb. Her hands are holding a veil that falls and drapes down behind her body. And sort of like billowing in yes. the wind. It's very beautiful. Her eyes are like staring up at the sun. Her left eye has tear stains. Her dress is a toga style.
She's gorgeous. I'm looking at this right now.
Stunning. And her dress falls off of both shoulders and it exposes the upper parts of each breast.
I'm sexually attracted to this statue.
You and me both.
That's a weird thing to say, but I am.
Here's the Witch Bonnie legend. As told by local high school students, is that her dress gets lower and lower starting each October until her tits are out on October 31st.
Get the fuck out of here. I love that. I wonder if anyone's ever drawn nipples on her.
Boobs ablazing. So that's that. That's the Lowell, Massachusetts Witch Bonnie.
I would be there with popcorn and wine waiting for her tits to come out on October 31st.
Oh my gosh. I would too. Yeah. I'd be ready.
Some candlelight.
Oof-da. Okay, Philadelphia used to have one. Mm-hmm. There was the Byberry Mental Hospital, which was one of just the most awful mental hospitals you could be in. It was eventually closed down because so many awful things were happening. Some patients were killed by orderlies Ooh, and hospital staff. God. Some patients snuck out and then were found months later in the bushes dead, but no one had really cared that they disappeared. Yeah. So this place was just fell into disrepair. People would go in, sneak in, they, you know, graffiti and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the mid-2000s, it was torn down completely and a senior living community called the Arbors at Eagle Point was built. So now I just want to talk to those people and see if they've heard any of the screams that were heard coming from the Byberry Mental Asylum
building. Is this
building.
One of those? Oh, so it's torn down, so you can't tour it.
I mean, you could probably tour the senior living community.
It's really appropriate that they put senior living community.
But people would hear wow. screaming and crying and moans. And the editor who wrote this said he lived right around the corner and can vouch that person has heard freaky things too.
You know, Bethany, you've made me so addicted to freaky stuff yeah. that I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go stay in an abandoned building for the night. It just brings me such release to watch scary things and read about scary things. Does that make me a freak?
No, it helps. It helps your anxiety. You're in good company.
Yeah.
I think we should pretend we have an elderly parent looking for a senior living home and as sisters, we'll go mm-hmm. look around.
That's fine with me.
But we want our appointment at midnight.
I can walk the walk. I was looking for a senior living home for my dad not that long ago, so I know all the questions.
We'll say that we work all day, so we work all day and into the night, so we have to tour it like really late at night.
Mm-hmm. And do they have a bed that we can stay?
Yeah, all night long. Okay, last one.
Okay.
San Antonio. We have a lot of listeners in San Antonio, Texas. Shout out. There is a headless nun that is reported to be wandering around the Santa Rosa Hospital. So deep in the basement, there is a rumor that a restless spirit of a headless nun lurks. On October 30th, 1912, a terrible fire tore through the hospital's neighboring building, St. John's Orphan Asylum.
Okay.
The nuns frantically attempted to lead the orphans to safety, and in the confusion, one woman was left inside and consumed by the flames.
No.
Now, we don't know how she became headless, but her spirit is said to wander the building. Ghosts are believed to be the spirits of either her or her and five nuns who died on October 30th, 1912. Many people reportedly do not like working the night shift at the hospital, especially in the basement.
Cool.
Exactly. Because they've either seen the headless nun gliding around or they've heard the stories and they are not interested in experiencing them firsthand.
Is her name Sister Mary? Please tell me her name is Sister Mary.
You know what? They don't say her name.
Sister Mary Catherine.
Was that Whoopi Goldberg from A Sister Act? No, she was Sister Mary Clarence.
I think I'm named after a nun. I think my mom had a nun. Yeah, Sister Mary Catherine Gallagher was the character from SNL.
That's right.
I think my mom named me after a nun. She went to Catholic school from kindergarten all the way through college. And there, I believe the story goes is that there was a nun when she was a little girl named Sister Kathleen. And she just liked the name so much that that's what she named me when I was born.
That's a good reason for a name.
No, I don't want to be named after a nun. Unless it's a dead and headless nun.
I mean, gliding around. Gliding is the worst part to me.
No, that's beautiful. Gorgeous.
Those are the spooky stories.
You know what, Bethany? I'm like getting off on this, man. I want to go watch. I rented The Craft the other day. I actually didn't like it that much in watching
it. The new one?
No, the old one. The new one's not out yet.
You didn't like it?
I don't know. I was only half paying attention, but anyway.
Why didn't you like it?
I think that we should do, I know you and I have not seen each other in 8 months. In the 8 years that I've known you, this is the longest that we've ever gone without seeing each other. Maybe we should do some social distancing in a graveyard on October 31st this year.
Okay.
We can go to the graveyard that my grandma's buried in. She'll protect us.
Cool. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Let's do it.
I love scary stories. This is what all humans should be doing right now in the dark ages of Corona.
Yeah.
They should just be telling ghost stories, sitting around a Zoom campfire.
And playing Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. Did you ever play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Sure did. Never worked.
Didn't it?
No, it never worked. Bethany, if you tell me that that worked for you when you were... No, it didn't.
I have clear memories of it working. I have clear memories. We never got her. She never like floated like in The Craft, but we definitely got people up off the ground because we were freaking out that we got them up off the ground. I promise you.
How old were you? Was this kid 30 pounds?
Probably. I mean, we were in elementary school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you think about it, if you have like four or five 30 to 60 pound girls lifting another 45 pound girl, I think you can do it.
I was never 45 pounds.
No, I wasn't either. I was closer to the 60 to 100 pound girl. But you know, whatever. We all have our things.
I was already 100 pounds in fourth grade.
And you know this because they made us weigh in front of our entire class.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I would love to do that now with full grown adults. It would just never work.
No, it won't work because you don't believe it'll work. I'll do it. And we'll do it. And it'll work. I promise you. Next time, Kathleen, it's on our thing to do. We have to go. Our list of things to do is we have to take a Bob Ross painting class taught by David Arquette.
Yes.
We have to do another thing I don't remember.
Yeah, there is one more thing.
We have to play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board as soon as we're able to get back together. And I promise you it will work.
Okay, let's try it right now with our laptops. Ready? Put your finger right underneath our laptop.
Well, you first have to tell a story about how the laptop died.
The laptop died in a terrible... I don't know. How would a laptop die? Oh.
Okay, we're never going to be able to do this if you can't pull this off. Come on.
The laptop died in a terrible flood of rosé. Mm. One night, the lady of the house, her name was Lady Antebellum, drinking a mega-sized box of cheap rosé, and in through the door came her lover. But what was actually happening was that her other lover was there on the couch. They were watching Emily in Paris, and then the box of rosé fell over the computer, and the computer circuited out.
And now the computer is light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Is it my computer's lifting, Kathleen?
My computer's lifting too. Oh my God, Bethany.
Oh my God, light as a feather. Kathleen, I believe that reading labels is key, not just with food, but with the products I use on and in my body. And I'm looking for things like what ingredients do you use, but also do you test on animals? And that's why I love Native deodorant.
Ooh, have you seen their new fall scents?
Oh, tell me everything.
Okay, so they have a blood orange and clove.
Oh.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. They also have, for the fall, rosemary and lemon zest.
Ooh, I need to try that.
Yes, me too.
Native deodorant doesn't just block odor better, it's made better. Native has ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. It's vegan and never tested on animals.
So if you're using a deodorant that has aluminum in it right now, aluminum forms leaves a plug in your sweat gland to keep you from sweating. That is why Native never uses ingredients like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. Let that sweat out, baby human. You gotta let that stuff out.
Switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean you have to reek. Native is gonna keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long.
And they have over 10 scents, including the rotational seasonal scents that Bethany and I just talked about. All summer, I was using the cucumber mint, and my pitters were fresh.
So do what we did. Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedo.com/taste or use the promo code taste at checkout, and that is going to get you 20% off your first order.
That's nativedo.com/taste, and again, Native, N-A-T-I-V-E, and then deo.com/taste, or use the promo code taste at checkout for 20% off of your first order. Bethany, I cannot get enough of this Netflix show, Emily in Paris.
Okay, so I haven't watched it at all, and I know that you brought it up in a previous episode, but can, for those of us who have not seen it, can you tell us a little bit about just the general vibe of the show?
Yes. So Darren Star, he is responsible for Sex and the City. He is responsible for the show Younger, starring Sutton Foster and Hilary Duff. It is so delicious, but like in the most frivolous way. It's fluffy.
Okay.
I want to say like 2 years ago, watching the show, I would have been like, this is really stupid. It's not at all relevant and I hate it.
Okay.
But because we're living in these like sort of dark corona times, yeah. I am living for all of its syrupy cheesiness.
By the way, dark corona times is like the depressing offshoot of medieval times restaurants.
You know what? This is a good business opportunity for you and me. We should do it. If anyone could do it, it would be us. So in Emily in Paris, the episode that I was watching last night, she's dating this total douchebag. Like, he's such a snob. And they have like a one night stand and they eventually see each other a couple of times. But the first time that he sleeps with her at her apartment, she wakes up and he's like in his underwear, like hands on hips, looking at her bookshelf.
Oh, and God, I hate him already.
Yeah. He's like, all your books are in French. And he's French and she's not, and her French isn't very good. And she goes like, yeah, you know, those books came with the apartment. They were there and I moved in. And he's like, well, I can't date anyone who doesn't own books. And she's like, well, I'm from Chicago and it was really expensive to ship books over here. So my books are in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he's like, so don't you read? She's like, yeah, I download them on my iPad. And he made her like, you know, they didn't show it, but it was inferred that she was going to take out her iPad and show him the books that she's been reading, which is so.
That's so gross.
Gross and crazy. But it got me thinking, weird relationship deal breakers.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
I mean, he's a snob to make her show him the books that she's reading. But is he that wrong about wanting to date someone who reads?
No, absolutely not. I have the same rule. You need to be someone who owns and reads books. Mm-hmm. But if you find out that the person you're with is not that, you yeah. don't need to make them feel like crap. And you don't need to stand with your hands on your hips studying, you know, and making and just like being very clearly judgmental. You can just make a mental note and be like, you know what, this probably isn't going to work out
yeah.
for me. Right? Don't you think?
Yeah. No, I believe that. Yeah. He made her feel like shit. You know, Neil and I have this thing with books too, where I'm all about the e-books. And he's like, no, I need to see them on my shelf.
Same. I'm the same way. Like, I don't have an e-reader. I only read hard, you know, like physical books. And
really?
Yeah. Because for me, I need to be able to see how far I am. I need to like see the thickness of where I'm going and like
how much. Yeah, but your Kindle will tell you what percentage you're through.
Right. But I like to see it. Like I like to hold it. I like to see it. If I'm reading something, I need to have it physically in front of me. And I like to see them on my shelves. They keep me calm. They're like my friends. They're cozy. But like,
okay,
it makes sense to read them on an e-reader because it doesn't take up as much space and, you know, trees.
So I thought it might be funny for us to just go through like some of our deal breakers, like coffee. If you don't drink coffee, I'm not sure that I can be with you.
Yeah. If you're exclusively a tea drinker, it's a reflection of me and my insecurities, but like I can't date you because you seem a little bit more intelligent than me and you seem a little cultured, more cultured than me, and I can't.
Wait, I have to tell you, I have to rephrase that. I couldn't date someone who wasn't a hot tea or coffee drinker.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because there's nothing more delicious to me in the morning than curling up on the couch on a Sunday morning in your jam jams with like something hot in your cup and then like watching SNL from the night before or whatever.
I totally agree. I agree with that. For me, it is just coffee. Unless you are a professional singer, if somebody orders hot tea at a restaurant or a place, I'm just like, ugh.
No, I like that. That's intriguing. Maybe they like Makuna honey. What's that fancy honey?
Manuka.
It's all about the Manuka.
Manuka.
This is going to sound really silly, but a deal breaker for me is lounge clothes.
Like the fact that they own them at all or the types of lounge clothes?
No, if you don't own lounge clothes, I can't date you.
Okay, but don't you also get frustrated with Neil because he doesn't dress up?
No, not at all. I get frustrated with Neil when I'm like, okay, let's go for a hike, and he puts on jeans. And I'm like, what the hell?
Okay.
So Dennis is one of those people that has clothes for every occasion.
Yeah.
And so in that respect, like, I'm very jealous of him.
He does. He has clothes for every occasion, and he knows in his head what he has. And so he goes for walks every morning, and he realized that he does not have jogging pants that are thermal. Mm. He has his regular workout pants, but now he needs a thermal pair to keep him warm. And I was really impressed because I think I have something that I can work with, but I never have actual official things that are for official things. Like, I have like comfy pants, so I'll go hiking in whatever sort of comfy,
you've got yoga,
you know,
pants.
Lounge pants. I have yoga pants.
Yeah. Because it drives me crazy when a lot of guys do this, where they don't understand that it's really cute if they're wearing like cute joggers and their North Face zip up when you go to get coffee in the morning or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, you have a North Face jacket? You must go on so many adventures.
It's so annoying. And it's like, no, don't put on your jeans. Put on some cute joggers. Like, I'll tell you what, there's this thing. Like, if you were ever to go on vacation with Dennis, would you ever have to pack for him?
No. Oh, my God.
I think I had to start packing for Neil, because more than once we've gotten to a destination where he didn't have appropriate clothing.
Oh, no. Like what? Like, where would you get?
So when we were in the Catskills a couple of weekends ago, we were going to go hiking. And this is one of those occasions where he is like, oh, I brought basketball shorts. I'm like, dude. It's the middle of September and we're in upstate New York. Like, you can't wear basketball shorts. See, Bethany, you know what he wore.
What did he wear? Wait, why can't you wear basketball shorts?
Because.
Can't, ticks?
You're going to be cold. Oh, you're going to be cold. And like, basketball shorts are not great for hiking because then ticks can get up your, you know.
Gotcha.
A long time ago, we used to have a partnership with that medical company, Figs.
Yeah.
So I had this like really cute pair of Figs with these pockets, and I brought my Figs with me just in case I wanted to toss them on.
Yeah.
So he wore my Figs.
I bet he looked great in them.
He looked so cute. They were the Fig joggers. And he's like, wow, I like these.
Yes. Appropriate clothing is amazing. Kathleen, when we went to the Grand Canyon, that was the first time I had ever bought actual outdoor clothing.
Yeah.
And I was astonished. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff that's moisture wicking truly does wick moisture, and it really does dry incredibly quickly.
Yes.
And, you know, wool socks really do help not give you blisters. Yeah. And I was shocked that things work the way they're supposed to when they're made for a certain purpose.
So that's another pet peeve of mine. You must own appropriate lounge clothing.
Yes.
What is one for you?
One of mine is you need to understand the difference between there, and there. Mm. And your and your.
Mm.
And I understand that you make, you know, mistakes are made. Like, we all make mistakes in writing and whatever. But if you don't actually know the difference, I can't. That's tough for me because it means that you don't read. Because if you read, you tend to have that stuff. It just kind of works its way into your brain. Mm-hmm. But it just also means that, I don't know. It just shows to me like a lack of curiosity or a lack of like wanting to learn.
Yes. No, I understand that.
Yeah. And curiosity and wanting to learn are really important to me. And so I want that in a partner too. Because I've been in enough relationships where the person I was with had no desire to continue learning about the world. Hmm. And so we had nothing to talk about. Because if you're not learning new things, you run out of things to talk about because you're just talking about what that person has done in the past. Mm-hmm. And now what will we talk about for the next 30, 40, 50 years?
Exactly.
Nothing, because you're not learning anything new.
Yes. Yes. Another one for me is someone who claps when the plane lands. I'm sorry. I can't. The pilot did their job. I can't. What would you do? You've never been on a plane with Dennis.
I have.
Okay. Did he clap when the plane landed?
No, he did not.
What would you do if he did?
I think I would find it charming.
Really?
Yeah, because
because you love him so much.
Well, no. I mean, I do love him so much, but I think it's more like I appreciate when people appreciate others.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people are rude to this, you know, to the servers and stuff. And so if you're going to applaud because someone got you a place and like they didn't have to land the plane properly, like they could have flown it into a mountain. I think that's charming. It wouldn't bother me. Why does it bug you so much?
It's one of those really petty, absolutely dumbass things that if someone was clapping for a plane and I was newly dating them, I'd be like, oh, red flag.
One of mine is that you have to be able to properly pronounce the word balsamic.
How would you mispronounce that word?
I dated someone who pronounced it balsamic. and he did it on purpose. Like, he told me where it came from, and it came from something he was doing to be funny. Like, it was an inside joke with him and someone else, and so somehow through this inside joke the word balsamic came out, and they giggled and giggled, and then it just became how he said the word. But I wasn't in on that inside joke. And he didn't giggle anymore when he said it. He just said it like he forgot how to actually pronounce balsamic.
Oh, my God.
And so to this day, the word balsamic makes me cringe because I'm worried they're going to mispronounce it. Like, I hear it starting. They're going like, bals, and I go, oh, no. And then they say samic, and I'm like, oh.
Thank God.
It's a fraught word.
Whew. If you lift yourself on Instagram as a public figure, get out of here. Get the fuck out.
Wait, I think I do.
No, I checked your profile before I put that on my list because I didn't want to insult you. Yours says actor.
What are you supposed to do when you're an influencer?
I would never date an influencer.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. But it's tough because like mine used to say public figure because I didn't know what else to put because I did many things.
Once upon a time, that was the only option.
Yeah.
If you were verified or if you were someone of note.
Yeah.
Mine says digital creator now, which I'm very comfortable with.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like, there are so many options now for people. Like, there's, like, content creator, and there's videos. Like, you know, and I don't know if everybody, if you have to have a certain amount of followers to be able to, like, list your profile as something like that. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
Anyway, like, because you've dated famous people before. Like, they had very specific roles within their public. I think just, like, someone who's, like, I'm a public figure. You're a douchebag. It should list douchebag.
Public figure, I think you should use it if you're using it ironically.
Yes. If you have 5 followers.
If you have 5 followers, or if you're like Tom Hanks.
Yes.
And you're so famous and so specifically famous for being an actor.
Yes.
If he had public figure, I think it'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. No, that. Yeah.
Or like, yeah, if your cousin Ted put public figure, that's also very funny.
Yeah, or your Aunt Susan.
Yeah. But like if you're, you know, Jake Paul or Logan Paul or one of the awful Pauls, like public figures, shut up.
Tom Hanks is so famous, he doesn't need to list anything.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. No, I'm looking at his profile right now. He legit doesn't. And Dennis has film director, so he's not a public figure either.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my husband's profile to public figure.
See, that's funny. He's a public figure in your apartment. He's like one of the most famous people in your apartment.
Yeah, he is.
I just had one and then I just lost it. Wait. Oh, if you don't like animals.
Yes.
Done.
Done.
Off. Can't. Nope. 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 Because with that comes a certain lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you have to be an empathetic person to love animals because, mm-hmm. yes, they help the whole circle of life and et cetera, et cetera. But animals don't really directly affect our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
And so if you're just someone who's like, I get nothing from them, they can't do anything for me.
You're a serial killer.
Right. Then you don't have any empathy. Like, that worries me. So you have to have a certain love of animals.
You know, and I've been trying to keep this conversation light, but also while we're on the word empathy, if you don't have empathy for other people, done.
Yeah.
I can't date you.
Yeah. And I think you can tell that right away when you go out to eat or wherever, like if they're not nice to the server or mm-hmm. if they're dismissive, like, okay, done. Because you don't understand that that person doesn't actually want to be there serving you.
Yeah.
They need the money.
Yeah.
And they need the flexibility because they probably have a child or a career that they're trying to make happen or, mm-hmm. you know, they're not there to be your server.
If you don't like Christmas music, bye. Peace out.
Now, you start Christmas music in June or July, which I wholeheartedly support.
I've been, every Sunday morning, I've been asking Alexa to play one or two Christmas songs before my husband turns it off because it's still October. But once Thanksgiving season comes around, he's cool with me playing it all the time. But if you were someone who couldn't tolerate that at all, peace out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I understand if, like, you had a bad experience with Christmas growing up or the holidays, but that... Even that is just going to be a problem because, Kathleen, you love the holidays.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be tough to, you know, be in a partnership where one person like doesn't want to think about it.
Yeah.
And the other person wants to vomit Christmas decorations all over the house.
What if you were dating someone who didn't like spooky things? Couldn't do it, right?
He'd have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because Halloween is such a short holiday technically. Mm-hmm. I don't need someone to be like rolling around in the skeletons with me. But you can't, like, inhibit my self-expression. Like, you know. Did you see there was Home Depot had a 20-foot, I think it was a 20-foot skeleton.
What?
That they sold out of very quickly. It was taller than a house.
Are you kidding me?
And it's glorious. Like, it's a full three-dimensional articulate, I don't know if it's articulated, but like a skeleton. It's not like a blow-up. It's not like a one-dimensional cardboard cutout. It's a full friggin' skeleton.
Yeah.
And I instantly was like, how could I fit this in my apartment? Like, would it have to be on its side, like laying on its side, kind of saucy?
Bethany, that would be the full length of your apartment.
No, and it would. And I pretty quickly figured out that that was not realistic because I did look at the picture and it was taller than like a two-story house. But how cool is that?
If you had any outdoor space or if you owned your own building, you would be the type of person who like fastened that to the front of the building.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I saw, I think it was on Reddit, how to make like a 7-foot-tall Krampus.
Krampus.
And it was scary. It was so good.
What's a Krampus?
It's the it's like the evil Santa, evil version of Santa. Look up Krampus, K-R-A-M-P-U-S. Krampus. Oh,
evil Santa. Okay, so I collected from a couple of online websites, Elite Daily and then DidYouKnowFacts.com, which is
love them.
One of those websites that gives you one bit of information and makes you click next.
Oh my God, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
But it was funny deal breakers that people had put online for relationships. So let's go through some of these very quickly because I know a lot of people can relate to these. Moles. I hate them. I really, really hate them.
Really? Like I think they're kind of sexy unless they're like big, prominent, hairy. But even that kind of doesn't bother me.
That's what someone wrote. I mean, and you can just ask them to, you can ask that person to get it shaved off if you really love them.
Ugh.
Like if they're really hairy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's always something that can be done.
Neil had like a little red bump on the tip of his nose and I was always trying to pop it, but it wouldn't pop because it was like a little red mole. And so he went to the dermatologist and I was like, please make them shave it off.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Yeah.
You can get anything taken off your face.
Some guy wrote, if her family is in the mafia, that's a deal breaker for me. I can't.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
That would make her more interesting to me.
No, because now you're in something that you potentially can't get out of.
No, I want to be a criminal. Like
Yeah, you really do.
It sounds fun. Bethany, come on. You tell me you wouldn't be interested if there was someone in the mafia that you were dating someone in the mafia.
Okay. I would have to have a sit down with whoever was in charge of that family.
Yeah.
And I would need to make it very clear, I can't be involved. And not that I'm afraid of your family. You guys seem great. And I'm so grateful. And dinner was amazing. Thank you.
Loved your meatballs.
Loved your meatballs. Any wine served in a jug with a handle is a wine that I am on board with. What I'm concerned about is that another family might use me as a way to get back at you guys. And that's where I'm concerned.
No, but you're the girlfriend. You can just be like, I don't know. You can play stupid, which I hate saying because that brings the women's liberation movement like back 15 years. But that's the one.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're like, if you're dealing with the mafia, sometimes you just have to play stupid.
Yeah, you just have to play stupid, right?
I don't know. I'd be nervous. But you know what? I respect and I'm glad, you know, whatever, you know, I'm saying nothing bad about the mafia.
I want to be in the Irish mafia. How do I do it? My name is so Irish. I'm Kathleen Heaney. Like, how do I get into the Irish mafia?
I don't know. Is there some sort of like chat room you can jump into?
I'm going to figure that out. I feel particularly attacked by this next one. Someone wrote, nose hair. How do you not notice that you have long pieces of hair sticking out of your nose? Tweezers can fix that shit in 2 seconds.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Tweezers are awful.
I have a nose shaped. I mean, it's my mom's nose. Mm-hmm. She has it too. We just have prominent nose hairs. And sometimes it's really hard to stay on top of it. Or sometimes you just don't notice.
Sometimes you forget because you're not looking at your nose.
Yeah. Like I have a mustache and I have nose hairs. Do you deal with that, Bethany? You've got nose hairs and a mustache?
I don't have a mustache. I do have nose hairs.
Yeah.
And you know, I sometimes I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't notice this for a couple days. And then you really do have to go to town. I have a prominent nose as well. And sometimes they just.
You can see where they are. Nose. It's my mom, my aunt. My grandma's nose was a little bit different, but it's just, I think I want to get laser hair removal in my nose. I've said that before, but I just.
Ow, 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 ow. Oh, God. Just thinking about it. It's like a snap of a rubber band is what it feels like. In your nose. Awful.
What's one about Dennis that you then changed your mind about?
Not being able to drink alcohol.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, that used to be a deal breaker for me. If you were sober, I couldn't because I just loved alcohol too much.
Do you drink less now that you're dating him?
A little, but he also doesn't mind if people drink in front of him. So because he's been sober for like 11 years, I think. He is past the point of it really being something that tempts him. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't really his drug of choice, so to speak, anyway. Yeah. So it's fine. If I couldn't drink in front of him, it might be a problem only because like my family drinks and, you know, like drinking wine at my mom's house is a really big part of the whole experience. So that might be a little bit tough. But yeah, it's not really a problem anymore.
I was thinking about this morning. I was like, you know, when you first started dating Dennis, I was like, what do they do?
No, I know.
They can't drink and they don't eat any animal product.
No, I'll tell you. So we're going to my friend Chad and David's house tonight. Yeah. We're going to their roof and we're just going to like sit 12 feet apart and have dinner. But Chad was asking, what do you drink? And I'm like, you know, wine. I don't really love vodka. I drink a little gin. Mm-hmm. Dennis doesn't drink. We don't have any meat or cheese. And Chad wrote, you're absolutely the most fun and vivacious vegan teetotalers I've ever met.
Get you a bottle of wine, get Dennis a pack of Diet Coke, and like get some dried fruits and some nuts. And you know what? I thought the same thing about you and Dennis once upon a time, but today I was making my bed and I was like, you know, if I were dating someone who were sober, then a glass of wine would be me time. I would take that glass. Maybe I would go sit in like a different room, like in a club chair and read a book, and it would just become me time and instead of us time. And I don't think that that's a big deal.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And, you know, he likes ginger beer, which is really good.
Yeah, just
you know,
tasty.
Has no alcohol in it.
And
so
you could easily put a little gin in your ginger beer while he's drinking regular ginger beer.
And I do.
Okay, very quickly. Someone wrote, a smooth chest. Must have chest hair. I agree. Must have chest hair.
Smooth chest weirds me out.
I agree.
Because then it starts to grow back and now it's painful.
Oh, my God. Imagine you're dating a guy, takes off his shirt, and you're like, oh, my God, your chest is so smooth. And he's like, thanks, I had it lasered off. Like, what?
I mean, some people, that's their priority, and that's great. I mean, that isn't necessarily a deal breaker for me. That's not a deal breaker.
It would be a deal breaker for me because it's indicative of other things that they think are important, which I don't necessarily think are important.
Like a little vanity.
I like a little hair.
I do, too. I do, too. I like hair. I like body hair.
You ride in that horse, and you dig
All right. Kathleen and I are just oohing and aahing over here and then realize we should probably hit record because this is a product we're obsessed with.
We're talking about Issue, ISSUU. And if you're a creator or you work in an office or you work for a product, like you have to check this out. It is the most incredible tool for people who create things.
Here's what Issue is. It's an all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital publications from brochures to magazines to sales collateral and more. If you're a creator, you can use this. The easiest way to use it is if you're making like a presentation or something you want to mail to people in a PDF form, you upload it and Issue turns it into this gorgeous flip book that sends a link instead of sending a huge PDF file to people.
Yeah, paper is out, issue is in. And if you're a designer or an educator or a publisher or a salesperson, or you just want to make eye-catching content for your friends, like, it is the most incredible tool.
Plus, you can have links and videos embedded in the content itself. And when it creates your flipbook, you could also have it converted into social media. So it makes it really easy to also share on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can start using it for free. Now, they also offer premium features that give a more customized experience, but they have a free version and you're really going to enjoy it. So get started with Issue today for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you'll get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and then use the promo code TASTE.
Now, I'm going to spell that for you. It's ISSUU, so ISSUU.com/podcast. And then when you check out, use the promo code TASTE for your free account or for 50% off your premium account.
One more time, that's ISSUU.com/podcast and then use promo code TASTE.
Bethany, has this company SheerTex popped up for you on your Instagram ads?
SheerTex.
SheerTex, it's those really strong tights. Like, they say that you can't even rip them. They're so strong.
No, I need these.
Yeah, go to SheerTex.com.
Spelled like it sounds?
SHEERTEX.
SheerTex Sparkly Shaping Sheer Tights.
Meet the world's strongest tights.
This is not an ad, by the way.
40% off site-wide. I just ordered last week with 20% off.
Man. You know what? I just ordered 3 pairs of tights from, was it Capizio?
Yeah, no, SheerTex. Look, no, Bethany, in one of the commercials, they put a fire extinguisher into one of the legs of the tights and it doesn't rip it.
Okay, but I feel like that wouldn't rip regular tights. I want you to take, like, I have like Velcro that holds the bottom of my chair lining on, and I always get my tights crackled on that. And I want your SheerTex tights to crack. I want to see if they... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I honestly don't know where I'm wearing tights this year, this winter. I'm not going anywhere.
I know. I have a bee in my bonnet.
Okay.
I did order 3 pairs of tights from Capizio because I needed them for my aerial photo shoot, and I needed them fast. And so I spent $35 on next day shipping. I ordered them on a Thursday, hoping that next day shipping, they'd get me next day, at least in time for Saturday.
Mm.
They showed up the following Monday. That does not count as next day shipping.
No.
And I sent them a strongly worded email saying, look, if next day shipping means shipping after you guys get around to packaging it, that's fine. But you should disclose as such when you select that, because it's listed in the fine print of their frequently asked questions, but it's nowhere near when you're actually selecting shipping. Am I out of bounds in terms of having a bee in my bonnet?
No way. The customer's always right. Always.
Always. Don't tell me it's next day shipping when it's not next day shipping.
It's not next day shipping, Bethany.
$35. Anyway, these SheerTex tights are amazing.
I feel like you getting this bee off your chest, this bonnet bee off your chest, you need a boa around your neck.
And I flip the boa very angrily.
Oh, next day shipping. How dare you?
I also like the SheerTex website. Their models are very inclusive.
Very inclusive. Hey, Bethany, do you like my new sweater?
Yes. What color would you say that is? It looks good on you.
Chartreuse.
Which is like a pea green, but somehow a pretty pea green.
It's like, yeah, it's a bright pea green. This is my favorite color. I'm working on a new personal website. I think I'm going to make it this color.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, should we do a why I'm voting first or a creepy story first?
Oh, I don't know. Up to you. Dealer's choice.
Let's do why I'm voting first this time. I think we did it second last time.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right, this is from Taste Bud Leah. I spoke to her last week. Bethany, she was so nice. She said, give Bethany a hug for me. She just really sounds like she needs a hug lately.
I love Leah. Thank you, Leah.
I know you guys haven't seen each other, but when you do, you give that girl a hug and you tell her it's from me.
It's cool. Active depression is fun and we all have fun with it.
Okay, here's Leah's letter.
Hi, friends. I hope you're doing well and hanging in there despite this crazy year. I saw your recent post on Instagram and thought I should write in. I'm voting this year for 3 key reasons, and sorry for the lengthy rants. I tried to be politically neutral. I'm voting because I'm an environmentalist. I've taught environmental studies for almost 10 years now, and it breaks my heart to see how our Earth, the only planet we call home, treated with little to no care. I want our government and all governments to see the intrinsic value in nature and what she does for us. I want others to see how we rely on the Earth and in turn care for her. We have limited resources, and we need to see how we can live lighter on this planet through proper planning, green initiatives, and hope. I'm also avoiding because I have children. I want my children to inherit a world that's better than the one I was born into. I want my daughter and son to have the right to choose what they want to be, have control over their own bodies, and be able to express their opinions without fear. I want my kids to understand and know what human kindness looks like. I want them to see compassion, empathy, and understanding on the television and within our government. I want them to love. And finally, I'm voting because I want serious matters to be taken seriously. I want proper emphasis to be placed on important topics like healthcare, humanitarian issues, and basic rights. I'm done with photo ops and pretend rulership. I am done with people sitting around pointing fingers. I'm ready to have real action and see real change. I want the world to be better. In short, I wish I could vote for Bill Nye, but I can't, so I'll vote anyway. Thank you for listening, Leah.
Leah, amazing. I love talking to people who teach environmentalism. I think you are some of the most interesting people in the whole world.
It's wonderful that there are people who know what we should do. Because mm-hmm. I think that so many of us, besides recycling and like turning off lights and not wasting water, it's like, okay, but what else do we do? But there's a whole industry of people who know exactly what we should do
yeah.
and what would work. You know, and when it comes to like climate change, I think that the biggest mistake that's been made is giving a seat at the table to people who don't believe in science.
Yeah.
Because this is a very serious issue. And I'm glad that, you know, Leah can knows a lot about it. And hopefully we can do something about it.
But Bethany, like the world just goes through these different types of changes. Like when uh-huh. the dinosaurs burned up, you know, it's like bound to happen. So why change what we're doing?
Yeah. What fun we're all having. Also, I really loved what she said about, I want my kids to understand, you know, human kindness. I was thinking about that this weekend. I was riding on a train and some people were wearing masks and some were not. And, you know, the train, you have to. They say it on the announcements. You have mm-hmm. to wear a mask. You can get mm-hmm. fined by the police. But of course, you know, they put a mask on when the conductor comes around and then they take it right off again. And I was just thinking, when people around you are wearing masks, they're doing it as a sign of care and protection for you.
Yeah.
Not just themselves. And I think that we're all in this community and we really should reciprocate that.
Yes.
If someone's thinking about more than themselves or thinking about you, you should also think about them.
Kindness goes a long way. You know, there's this trend going around lately where certain people who believe in certain things are wearing these shirts that say, fuck your feelings. And to a certain extent, yes.
That's awful.
If you're going to visit your ex-boyfriend who cheated on you and slept in the bed that you shared with him with his secretary or I don't know. Yes, you can wear that fuck your feelings shirt to his apartment to get the rest of your stuff. But like in terms of everyone else, like what kind of message is that to send to our children? Fuck your feelings. Get out of here.
That's coming from a place of so much anger. Mm-hmm. And anger is really hard to maintain. And it's exhausting to maintain.
Yes.
If you know people who are always angry, look how old they look.
Yes, they age faster.
They age so much faster because it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's not because they're not using the same serums that you're using.
They're probably using all the same serums you're using. Uh-huh. But but just the energy that it takes to keep up that level of anger, and it's just not worth it.
That's why I think it's really important that no matter what side of the political spectrum you stand on, you should be watching all sorts of news channels.
That's why I watch nothing but conspiracy channels, because I like to know what the aliens are thinking.
Yeah.
And how they're going to get us.
You should be watching, like, if there's a big headline happening, if there's something huge going on and all of the channels are reporting on it, you should be switching channels to see how each network is reporting on it.
I agree with that.
It's really interesting to see how certain networks treat one headline versus another network totally ignoring it. It's eye-opening.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay, should we move on to a spooky story?
Yes, Mom.
Okay. I have a shorter one and a longer one. What do you think?
Let's do the shorter one. Okay. Next episode, we'll dedicate a whole segment to all spooky stories.
Cool. All right. So it's basically just one long paragraph.
All right. You do the honors, Bethany.
Okay. This is from, I'm just going to say her name, Samantha. Mm. I hope Samantha's okay with that. Samantha, if you're not okay with that, we're also going to give you the fake name of Tiffany.
Oh, okay.
So Samantha or Tiffany, this is your story. Samantha Tiffany says, I'm going to preface that this story is 100% true. Call my mom. She will corroborate. Well, Samantha, I called your mom and she loves you very much and she's very proud of you. She says, it was 2012, late September, early October, around 9 p.m. I was on the phone with a good friend and we were chatting while both watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. And they were doing like the at-home watch party before it was cool. I was already a little spooked. I'm not good with scary movies. I got off the phone for a snack break. Now, we had a pet gate in front of the kitchen entrance and a large picture window in front of the sink microwave area. The side entrance also came through the kitchen from outside, and the yard was fenced. I was heating up mac and cheese, that's my girl, and I heard a knock on the window. I was already spooked from the movie, and I Olympic hurdled the baby gate to get my mom from the living room to come assist. She cracked the back door, and there were two young girls outside, between 8 and 12. They asked my mom if they could come in and use the phone. She said no. They then asked multiple times if we could give them a ride to their house behind a small pizza place in town. My mom said no because we were already in for the night, but they were more than welcome to use our cordless phone. My mom then passed it through the door. We waited in the kitchen. 5 minutes passed, and they brought the phone back and asked again if they could come in. And this time they were a little more aggressive and were very close to the door.
What?
My mom said no and closed the door and locked it. She hit redial on the phone so we could talk with their parents. They hadn't called anyone. It redialed my friend from before. I called my then boyfriend to see if he knew these girls because they lived in the same small neighborhood behind the pizza place. He said he has never seen them and he and his sister were the youngest people in the neighborhood. We never saw or heard from these little girls again.
Get out of here.
It still gives me the chills to even type it out, and it's been 8 years.
What?
Kathleen, do you know the story of black-eyed children?
Yes, black-eyed children are the devil.
Black-eyed children ask to be let in. They're aggressive. They're scary. You get a bad vibe about them. They usually come in pairs or groups of three. They're usually young, between like 8 and tween age.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't let them in, they get aggressive. They're like vampires. You have to let them in.
When they come in, do they bite your throat and then eat your guts?
No one who's let them in has ever survived to tell the tale.
No one had a ring camera that let them in?
No one had a ring camera that let them in.
Well, that was their biggest mistake. You gotta have a ring camera.
So this is Samantha's black-eyed kids true story.
Holy Moses.
Yeah.
That's okay. First of all, okay, my mom, MB, that's what I call her, MB.
Yeah.
I went to go see her yesterday, and she goes, something really scary happened to me.
Okay, mom, what's up?
She said, well, I got an alert for my ring camera for the back gate. And I said, okay. She goes, yeah. So I got the alert. I was in the kitchen next to the camera. I got the alert, and then I went into the living room, and I sat down, and I opened up my app to see what it was. And she goes, and I saw somebody with a hoodie. By the gate. And she goes, I went around the whole house, you know, kind of like flipping the lights off because then it's easier to see what's going on outside.
Yeah.
And she had the cordless phone in her hand. She was ready to call 911. And then she pulled up the video again and realized that said human with the hoodie was actually just herself in a hoodie in the reflection of the window.
That is amazing. Dude, she is not alone. I once saw a video from my pet cube and I posted it on Twitter. Do you remember this? And I was like, you guys, someone is in the background of this video and it was me leaving my house. And then like pet cam caught it.
She's like, I was the person in the, I was the hoodie. And she goes, my hair looks like a hoodie.
She wasn't even wearing a hoodie. I love that your mom doesn't recognize her own outline.
She does. Well, because now that it's colder, we put the glass down, so there's a little bit of a glare through the ring camera because we haven't had them installed outside yet, so they're still like on the windowsill behind the window.
It's horrifying. Can I tell you something really quickly? I know we need to like end the episode, but
yes, of course.
My plans for the holidays, you know, I have to see my family, but I'm not going to make it unsafe, so We have to quarantine for a couple weeks before seeing my family for Christmas.
Yeah.
So we're driving to an undisclosed location, staying in a cabin for 2 weeks.
Stop it. You and Dennis?
And then going to my family's. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so fun.
It's going to be so fun. We already have the cabin rented. However, last night we were watching a story about a guy. It's like, if you Google it, it's like the Snapchat intruder. And it's this guy whose friend, he was Snapchatting his birds. And like his friend was like, who's that in the background? He sees someone looking through the glass with their fingers and head pressed up against the glass. And then another shot, you see a shadow standing in a corner. Like, and it's so scary, Kathleen, that Dennis and I were ready to cancel the cabin reservation. And Dennis actually said, do we need to buy a gun? And I was like, no. We were so spooked last night. We were so spooked last night that like we.
Don't you dare cancel that cabin. Oh my God. Don't do it.
Because at night, it's night. And we are so used to being in the city that we know that if we yell, someone will hear us. But like, this is not that.
Ooh, that's a good premise, Bethany. You're in the city, you're being attacked, and you yell, and there are people all around you, and no one responds.
I feel like that's just everyday crime. That's just living in New York.
Someone is chasing you with an axe and you're screaming and someone is following you and you're all bloody and nobody turns their head.
Again, that's just living in New York.
True.
You know, I mean, true. The pizza rack gets more attention than somebody who's like running and bloody. We would probably just think they're part of some sort of experimental theater show.
Gentle listener, that is not at all true. If you want to come visit New York City, do not listen to Bethany. It's a lovely city.
It is lovely, but I feel like people don't usually do anything.
They're friendlier than France.
No, they are really friendly. I just don't know how many people actually call police, except for me. I call the police all the time. I'm just real worried about my neighbors. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
Hang on, I'm pulling it up.
It's sixes and sevens. I'm thinking about police and cabins.
Okay. This is what I learned this week. So, you know, everybody knows the term ghosting for dating, right?
Of course. Yeah.
There's a new term that everyone should know.
What is it?
It is called Sasquatching.
What's that?
So when you're Sasquatching someone, you emerge from isolation so infrequently that your romantic interest is never sure that you actually exist. And also, you have body hair. You know, you're body positive. So you have lots of hair in lots of places. And also, you are mesmerizing.
You've grown in size, covered in hair. That's so funny.
Sasquatching, the new dating term that we all need to know.
That's so, so funny. I love it.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
This comes from watching Black Christmas. I learned that the 70s were the best era for fashion. Maybe not the materials they used, but the silhouettes were so flattering. Like, men were wearing things that like skimmed their bodies, long suits that like lengthened their bodies. I love shaggy hair. I love like the kind of the casual plus the dressed up together, which was, you know, these like button down shirts that maybe you unbuttoned one more button than normal and you wore a suit and like the boot cut or the flare. And for women, it was these high-waisted jeans. It was halter tops. It was just like very body conscious, but very flattering. And I feel like I know that the 70s are no longer in style and now people are really into the 80s and the 90s, but man, I 70s are it. I think we should have stopped.
Yeah, I like the 70s. I think flower power is a really cool concept.
Yeah, I feel like the color palette's great. I like every, so, you know, if you're looking for a silhouette and you don't care about being fashionable and you are okay with people maybe looking at you strangely, the 70s, man.
And polyester, which collects your sweat and makes you smell real bad.
Yeah, and if you die in a fire, they'll be able to identify you by the fused clothing to your body.
Oh my God. So, Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
At Radio Bethany on Twitter, at Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
At WebGirl Kathleen on everything except for TikTok. I can't log into my TikTok. I don't know how. I made it a long time ago. Don't know how to get in.
What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You can find our podcast on social media. We are at Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
On Facebook, search an Acquired Taste Podcast. And also we have a fan group and they are un-freaking believable. Kathleen, do you want to say what our fan group did for one of their own?
Yes. So earlier in the month, we had a taste bud who had a baby at 31 weeks.
Oof.
And so she had a little boy who's been in the NICU. And she had a drive-by baby shower this weekend because obviously she couldn't have a baby shower. It's COVID. And also now she's got this little tiny baby
that they weren't ready for because they thought they had more time.
Living at the hospital. And she was surprised by a taste bud who drove by her drive-by baby shower with a huge care package to keep her and her husband going in the NICU. It was, you know, things that they need to split their lives between their home and the hospital. And that was from Taste Buds. It was from a group of Taste Buds that got together to gift some amazing items to another Taste Bud. And just what an incredible community that all of the Taste Buds that listen to this podcast have created. It wasn't us. It's you guys.
So. I mean, we don't know how we got so lucky. We say it all the time. You are all so amazing. So Sarah is the Taste Bud who had the baby. Sarah, we are sending so much love and light to you and your whole family and to all of the people who came together and helped Sarah out. Like, just, I have tears in my eyes. You're all just unbelievable. So that's how you can find us on Facebook.
If you want to send us an email, our email is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also really, it's my favorite part of every episode, hearing your voicemails at the end. I love hearing what you are all thinking about. You can call us, leave us a voicemail. The phone number is 917-994-0353.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. Send your friends a link, have them subscribe. It helps us move up in the ranks and make those charts every now and then.
We were big in South Africa for a week, which is real fun.
Who's listening to us in South Africa? I know we have a taste bud in Israel, and I would like to talk to her on a future episode. She's got a really interesting story. So she's a tour guide in Israel. So obviously, Bethany, we need to go to Israel and take Hannah or Chana. I'm sorry. She knows that she has a heart. Hannah. I think is how she told us to pronounce it. I want to take her tour. Anyway.
Amazing.
That's it.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at Shargar and on Instagram at lit_fuck.
Bethany, do the breath part.
Here's the breath part. ASMR. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, guys, it's Jackie. So I'm listening to the newest podcast, and you guys are talking about drinking black coffee. And Bethany, I totally get it. Like, I love the idea of being able to drink a black coffee, and I mostly wanted to do it because I was watching Gilmore Girls at the time. And I just loved that they could just, like, pour their coffee in a cup and then just call it a day and just drink it and be fine and love it and enjoy it. So I started drinking black coffee a couple of years ago. I stopped doing cream after a while because, like, it made my mouth taste and feel really weird, so I don't know if that's just, like, a me thing. But I started putting maple syrup in my coffee, just black, with maple syrup, and it's delicious. Like, it takes the bitterness right away. I hope you guys didn't already talk about this, because the minute I heard you talking about black coffee, I called you, so if this is super redundant, I'm sorry. But if you just try maple syrup in your black coffee, you're going to love it. It's delicious. Try it.
Hey, ladies. This is Jamie calling from Washington State. I just wanted to appreciate you guys talking about that letter a couple of weeks ago where the person was thinking about breaking up with the other person, this and that. They weren't happy. And I just wanted to also state that, is it just because it's this year? Like, I got engaged last December, and this year has just been the absolute worst. 2020 is the freaking worst. I never thought my engagement would be this bad. I've even had thoughts of, like, just calling it off and leaving and doing something else. And finally, I've been getting around to, no, even my sister mentioned, well, weren't you happy with him before this year? And I go, yeah. And so obviously this year is just the absolute worst, and just want to remind them and everybody that, hey, everybody is anxious right now. Everybody is rethinking everything because we have so much time and it's just crazy. And yeah, so it's just the worst year ever. So just keep your head up and keep trying to go out and do things and hiking, whatever. Take some deep breaths of fresh air. We'll hopefully get through this.
Hi, ladies. This is Hannah calling from Philadelphia. I'm going to try to talk fast because I'm calling about two topics on this week's episode. First, peroxide will get blood out. My spouse works in the medical industry, and they actually use it to get blood out of carpet and furniture. And also life insurance. What a, like, weird set of topics to be calling about blood and death. Anyway, the best time to get life insurance, honestly, this is going to sound grotesque and weird, it's actually when you're a child. My dad sold life insurance when I was really young, and so he had a better than average knowledge, and he actually opened a whole life insurance policy on me and my younger brother when we were under the age of 10. The reason this is the best time is the younger you are, the cheaper your premiums. So now as an adult, I pay $96 a year for a whole life insurance policy, and that means it's actually good for your entire life. In addition, whole life policies actually build a cash value. So once your kid turns 18, they can transfer it into their name, pick their own beneficiary, and the payments are way cheaper than they would ever get in their entire life as an adult. Plus, if they get older and they hit like hard times, they can actually borrow against the policy. They can even close it and get the cash value for it. If you're going to get life insurance, the best time to do it is actually when you're a kid. So anyone out there, if you're having children or you have really young children, get them a whole life policy. It could really make a big difference for them. That's it. I wish I was calling about something, I don't know, happier than blood and death. Thanks for a great podcast, ladies, and hope you're having a good week. Bye-bye.
Hi, all you buds in Taste Bud Land. This is Taste Bud Tia from North Idaho. I just was catching up on some of the episodes that I've missed in the last couple weeks from working at home, and I just listened to the one about how the government knows about all of our alien connections. All I have to say is watch the documentary Unacknowledged on Netflix. It is pretty wacky and crazy, and I totally believe that all of this has happened.
Hey, ladies, this is Megan, your official acquired taste food scientist. I just listened to the last couple weeks' episodes because I was traveling and had a bunch of things to tell you, so I didn't want to Instagram you because it's too long. First, oat milk. Kathleen, I've heard you mention oat milk a couple of times. My company makes that as well, so girl, if you need some stuff, you just let me know because I can ship you some. Also, if you need more Arbor Bars, you just let me know. I'll hook you up. Bethany, the popcorn rant. Girl, yes. Those things make me nuts, like people vilifying things. Don't even get me started. So much to rant about. I'm with you. I hear you. I feel you. Kathleen, I know that you know I was in Alaska. I think it was you that probably liked one of my photos recently. Just wanted to let you know there was safety for COVID involved. We had to get tested. Alaska requires it 72 hours in advance of your trip. So no fear. COVID rules were taken into account. And then Bethany, Listeria. Can take up to like 25 days to hit you. So just, you know, mark down that you ate that jam and just keep that in the back of your mind. It can take a while. So any other questions, anything, you just let me know. I am here for you, ladies. Also, if you need any fall foliage pictures from Minnesota, you just let me know. There's a ton going around the interwebs and I can take some for you. Hope you're having a good time and I will talk to you soon.